Yes, sir.
See if you can...
He'll be on the line in just a minute.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Georgie?
Yes, sir, Mr. Bradley.
How you doing?
Well, I was doing good today until Gore...
Somebody told me she just raised hell with them because they let Gore come in and spend all day talking about what she'd been doing the last 2 days.
Well, that's exactly what happened. And then you know what he did after having agreed before Christmas that we would have sessions morning and afternoon no matter what? He went to Mansfield tonight and said, now, I'm going to... It's matters ruffled my feelings, and I'm going to have to object to the Finance Committee sitting during the sessions of the Senate. So this is what I tried to explain to Byrd for an hour today, and I think I finally made the point that Gore's out to stop the bill, and he can sound polite about it, and he can, you know, all that gracious senatorial language, but the guts of it is he's trying to keep the bill from ever passing. And that we just got to ram it on through. So Gore said, well, I don't know what to do. I said, well,
Gore? Gore, you mean Mansfield?
No, I mean Byrd said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, all you've got to do, Mr. Chairman, is just you've just got to announce that we're going to, when we finish with this section, we're finished with that section. We'll have one day where fellows who aren't there, who want to offer amendments to sections which have already been approved, they will have that day. But you've got to move, because you're otherwise, the Finance Committee is going to lose its prestige, it's going to lose its position, and Albert Gore is running the committee, and I don't think it's fair to you or anybody else. So he said, well, I'll do that. So we're going to, Monday, Mansfield's not going to have a session of the Senate, so we're going to meet both morning and afternoon. But it was pretty bad today. We had a real knockdown.
Yeah, and it didn't meet Saturday either.
I made the motion. I said, I move we meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Why in the hell didn't he?
Well, Bennett and...
Well, let them go and come on back.
Exactly. I said it, and I got 3 votes. So, I'm beginning to see the picture a little better. We're going to do a little better than we have been doing. I'm personally making a campaign contribution to McCarthy out of my own funds, and I can just tell that's going to help. I've got another thing going with another fellow on the committee on the Republican side, which is going to help, and we're going to get the bill out. But we sure wasted the day. But we're going to have a showdown with Gore. This is the whole thing that Byrd's got to understand. He wants it to be run nicely and nobody be mad and so on, but there's no way to do it without hurting somebody's feelings. And Gore's already taken off on me before, and about 3 days ago, he said I was protecting the rich and the greedy and the mighty and so on.
Where's he been? Off selling bulls?
No, he was. He had a legitimate reason. He was down to Baker's funeral. But I gave him hell about that bull thing already. This was what happened last week, see. And I told him he's finally got a big bull that he owns a third interest in. That's something that's worth $150,000, and it's bred 6 calves, and each one of them is sold for $6,000. And boy, he's just as proud that he can be. So I've been talking about we ought to maybe change that law. But it's been pretty rough.
So he didn't make a bit of progress today?
He didn't make any progress at all today. Now, John Williams said we did. Of course, you can't trust John Williams. He's against us.
Have you heard about this tape recording that's out?
No.
Well, it involves you and John Williams and a number of other people.
You mean some woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard about it. And it involves Hugh Scott.
But it's a pure made-up deal, isn't it?
I don't know what it is. I never heard the woman in my life. Don't know anything about her. And but she mentions President Kennedy in there.
Oh, yeah, and the Attorney General and me and you and everybody, and I never heard of her. I never heard of her.
Thank God, and they got Hugh Scott in there. He's the guy that was asking for it. But she's also mentioned him. Which is sort of a lifesaver. So I don't think that'll get too far now. Jordan, Aldis.
Now, can't you talk to him? Why in the living hell does he let Curtis run him? Why, I thought you were going to talk to Dick Russell and go talk to Curtis and make Dirksen and them behave.
I've talked to him until Jordan has assured me over and over again.
He's not strong enough,
but
though, unless,
exactly
unless
right.
someone goes tells him. Now,
that's right. Now, Dick is the man that ought to do it, and I've asked Dick to do it, and Dick has told me that he would. I'll say this for Harry Bird. Harry Bird went to Jordan in my presence and said to Everett Jordan, you're going to... How do you put it? He said, you're...
Well, they had this damn fool insurance man in, and they had him in a secret session. And Bobby gave me a record player.
Yeah.
And Bobby got the record player from the insurance man. I didn't know a damn thing about it. Never heard of it till this happened.
That's right.
But I paid $88,000 worth of premiums, and by God, they could afford to give me a Cadillac if they wanted to, and there'd been not a goddamn thing wrong with it. I paid them $88,000 in premiums over a period of... 55 to 64,
right.
On damn near $500,000 worth of insurance, and the only company that writes it, and I, some people buy it from their friends, and nothing wrong with it. There's no, not a damn thing wrong, but, so, Walter Jenkins explained it all in his statement. This son of a bitch, Curtis, came along and said, well, he wouldn't take any statements not sworn to.
Yeah.
They had their counsel come down. Walter Jenkins handled it and told him exactly what it done, said, we bought the insurance. We got a letter from North Carolina we never had heard of. A fellow said Manhattan's the only company to write a heart attack man.
Yeah.
So we called up the Manhattan agency.
Yeah.
And the fellow down here in town said, yeah. And Bobby said, hell, we'd let my man handle it, and he'd get a commission off of it. So we said, all right.
Right.
So his man handled it. And the other agent got the commission, too. The big one, this fellow named George Chain.
Well, actually...
But now... He said, well, Walter, I swear to it. Walter, swear to it. Now they want a public hearing so I can put it on television.
Yeah.
Now, that oughtn't to be now, George. I oughtn't have to get into that person.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, and he shouldn't. And Dick Russell has got to exercise his influence. This is just, he must do this, and I think that you've got to talk to him about it and just say, you've got to do it. I've talked to Jordan. Jordan thinks I'm guilty of something, see, so he thinks I may be covering up trying to protect myself. Hubert has been really good in this. And believe it or not, Joe Clark has finally gotten a pitch, and he's trying to stop it now. But Hugh Scott and Carl Curtis are going wild, and Jordan doesn't have enough experience or enough sense to gavel them down and shut them up. But if Dick will talk to him, really talk to him, say this is
I think he needs to talk to Curtis, too. Why don't you tell Dick to do that?
I will. I've already talked
to him. Call him. I don't mind doing it, but I will. But you just
right.
tell him that you
can
just
I,
think
right.
that this damn thing. Will get Dick to go see Curtis right. tomorrow and just say, now quit being so goddamn
right.
rambunctious
all
about
right.
this car. Because right. he and Dick are piss out of the same quill all right. the time.
Well, can I tell Dick
that
this is not right and that you know about it? Naturally, it makes you apprehensive. You've got all these damn problems and this have this little nitpicking thing. It's just not fair.
It's not.
And it isn't fair. So anyway, all right, I'll do it.
Tell him he's the only one can do it, and he can do it. And if he is involved, I damn sure walk across the country and do it.
Exactly. All right. That's a damn good thought, and I'll do it. I've already talked to him about it, but I...
FBI's got that record. Now, you know, I think you ought to leak it. I don't know who you can leak it to. But I've read the goddamn tax report, and I've read the FBI report. And ain't a goddamn thing in it that they can even indict him on.
Well,
they say the only thing that they can do... is that he puffed up financial statement, which everybody's done. If he pays that off, they couldn't convict him on that.
Okay, well,
that's the FBI now.
They won't print it, because I tried to leak that day before yesterday to two people and two different sources, and it hadn't been printed. They just want to print this, you know, this ugly stuff. But I will talk with Dick tomorrow about this other thing. Now, Curtis is mean as a snake. Now, Dirksen sat in the room the night of the day after you became president with me and Humphrey and agreed that this thing ought to stop and that he would get Curtis to stop it. Hugh Scott, because Dirksen, you know, there's some statement about Dirksen
yeah.
and Kiko with this German girl. So he said, it's just ridiculous and it ought to stop. And so Hubert was damn good. And I said, well, Everett, we got to count on you. I think we can handle everybody on our side. Howard Cowden is the smartest fellow over there, but he's a little afraid to do anything because he himself figures he was involved out in Las Vegas. So he's a little afraid to be as brave as he ought to be. But anyway, Dirksen said, I'll do it. Now, Dick ought to go back. I'll tell Dick this. I've already told him once, but I...
Tell you, I'll talk to Dirksen and Curtis both. Please do it. And also Jordan. And he just got his work cut out Monday because they're going to meet Tuesday and they're going to want a public hearing.
Yeah.
And then that's television hearing. And then a television hearing about my buying some insurance. Now, what the goddamn hell's wrong with my buying insurance?
Okay.
I paid cash for it, wrote him a check for it, made my company the beneficiary, and they didn't deduct it. No, no tax deduction. We do it after we pay our taxes. We pay the premium.
Right.
Only reason being, if I died, my wife have to pay estate tax on me, and the company, she'd have to sell her stock, and they want the company to have some money to buy her stock.
Right.
So she doesn't have to lose control of her company. Now, that's a prudent business reason. This son of a bitch, Molyneux, said, well, you couldn't deduct it for tax purposes unless you was a key employee, so that means Johnson was a key employee, and that means he ought to be an employee, and so forth. Well, the son of a bitch thought I was crooked as he was. I didn't deduct it.
Yeah.
Because I had a tax opinion showing that I couldn't deduct it unless I was a key employee, and I wasn't a key employee. So we just paid our taxes, and then what money we had left out of our 48%, we paid the premium.
Right. I'll get hold of Dick. I'll just make it a special project to hunt him down tomorrow and just absolutely put him under the gun, because he's got to do
it. Come in, Walter.
He's got to do it, because this is so silly and so stupid, and it ought to stop.
Okay. All right, much obliged. And God bless us on the taxes. I hope something happens there.
Well,
You think I'd do any good by talking to Bird? Bird ought to been happy about my budget. By God, I thought I'd made a deal with him.
I'll tell you the truth. You helped me. The talk you had with Clint Anderson's been marvelous. The talk you had with Bird has been good. Bird is really concerned now. He's finally gotten to realize that Alma Gore has really outstopped the bell, which is what I've been trying to tell him all along. And Douglas...
Walter, can we get Wilbur Mills to pass some kind of a damn private bill out of there some way or other, where you all hang a tax bill onto it to just keep on until Bird, after a while, that you just... Right. Have you got a bill on the calendar, you can do it?
Yeah, we got a bill on the calendar we can do it with. And we've been thinking about it. Now, this is just what we're going to do.
I just
and
tell Bertie,
we're just going to destroy your committee and you as chairman. He said, well, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, by God, you've just got to tell him that when the discussion's over with, it's over with, and we're going to have a vote. And so he said, well, I'll do it. He got sort of red. But he said, well, it didn't happen under Milliken, did them under George, Pat Harris. I've been on this committee 30 years. And he said, we never have made motions to table. I said, well, you never had rambunctious guys like this who are mean. And by God, we'll just bring the whole country down with them.
Well, question, in fact, you haven't made a motion to table. No reason why you shouldn't.
That's right.
Of course, I don't guess Rebikoff would vote with you on a motion to table, would he?
Well, Rebikoff voted against us again today. This is about the fifth straight time. But he's a funny fella, but I'm not going to give up on him. I think... somehow we can, after he establishes his independence, I think that he's going to be all right. Damn if he didn't vote against us again today.
What'd you vote on today?
Well, we voted the same sections we'd voted before. This was what was so funny. We had to repeat all the votes we made yesterday. Dirksen would
also.
Well, because Gore had not had a chance to be there, and he wanted to change a little bit. And so he had a little different variation of it, so he offered the amendment.
Why would Bird let him go back to those at all?
Well, this is what was, this is the thing that made me so damn mad. That's how we got in sort of a fight with me and Gore. We finally threatened each other, and I said, anytime you think you can walk down to the gym, take me, I'm ready. And he said, and so then he went out and said, I'd ruffle his feelings, and he wasn't going to let us meet. He had agreed to let us meet during the sessions of the Senate. This was the only thing we accomplished before Christmas, but he was one of those who agreed. But now he's backed out on his agreement. I told Mike, I said, now, Mike, I said, you ought to talk to this fellow. He's backed out on his agreement. But anyway, so we're not going to have the session all day Monday and see how far we can go. Actually, we've got behind us the important parts of this bill. The rest of it is very minor and very small. And we can finish this thing by next Friday, easy.
Dirksen wanting to delay it?
Dirksen is sort of... No, I don't really think Dirksen is.
Why is he off in
John Williams is off. Well, he wasn't there. And he's not there half the time. Then he comes in office amendments later. But John Williams is wanting to delay.
I thought he was satisfied with the budget.
He's mean. I tell you, that's the meanest Republican. Him and Curtis, he and Curtis are the meanest guys we got to face. Rest of them, Dirksen's a pretty good fella.
Okay, God bless you.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.